Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5:30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines. Work has been approved to begin on a flood relief scheme for Rafoe. The European Commission has decided to remove Brazil from the list of countries authorised to export certain meat products. Gardaí are urging people to be aware of a phone call scam occurring in Donegal. And as tests continue to establish what caused a fish kill on the Crana River on Friday afternoon, a Buncrana councillor has praised the angling community and statutory agencies for their swift response. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have an update of all the sport with Oisin Kelly at 5:45. But first, work has been approved to begin on a flood relief scheme for Rafoe, which is designed to protect 387 properties at risk of flooding. Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran says he has received confirmation from Public Expenditure Minister Jack Chambers that the project can proceed. He says his department is now working to facilitate the start of construction as early as possible, in line with the statutory process. The scheme has been developed with significant input from the local community and includes two open diversion channels, embankments and three new main drainage pipes and culverts to collect stormwater. It will also involve road reprofiling and the planting of native woodland. Local councillor Frank McBrearty has welcomed the announcement, but says there should be recognition of the victims of previous floods in the town.
Well, I would hope so, but at the end of the day, it's not going to resolve the issues of the lack of compensation that businesses and homeowners didn't get over the years. I mean, a lot of these properties in Rafoe have been uninsurable. One in particular business, chip shop at the end of the town, has suffered severely. That's an example. They can't get insured because of the risk of flooding. And I would like to, the same thing for homeowners who are living in Rafoe. It's nearly impossible to get insurance unless you're paying an absolute fortune for it.
So would you say that alongside this outlay to do the flood relief, a compensation scheme would be appropriate as well?
Well, I definitely would advocate the fact that a redress scheme for the people who have suffered over the years, that would need to be looked at, but that hasn't been looked at. And that's something that I would be advocating, that it should be looked at. But the powers will be, will probably ignore that. But it's very welcome that we've got this 12 million. But anyway, see now what happens with the planning process and the compulsive purchase orders and all that. So it's not a done deal yet, even though the minister has announced this today.
The European Commission has decided to remove Brazil from the list of countries authorised to export certain meat products, including beef, to the European Union. Midlands Northwest MEP Kieran Mullooly says the decision vindicates the concerns raised by farmers and food safety experts. The decision can be appealed by Brazil in 2 years' time. Mr. Mullooly says this is a significant victory for European farmers and European consumers.
It is a victory for Irish farmers who are following the rules, who are ensuring that food safety is top of the agenda, and this decision has huge implications for the market here as well, so it's good news.
Does this have implications for the Mercosur deal? Because we know that there is more to Mercosur than agriculture, but it was being framed as a really important part of that deal that's been agreed between the EU and the South American countries. Where stands Mercosur now?
Well, there's no doubt that this is a serious blow for the Brazilian government. The rest of the Mercosur deal will go ahead on a provisional basis, and that means that the transport of cars between Germany and Brazil and other products like that will go ahead. But from an Irish perspective, we are particularly pleased that the beef export business has been shut down. It wasn't safe. We said it wasn't safe. We knew they were using illegal animal growth promoters. The rest of the Mercosur deal may continue. It won't have major implications for Irish farmers. It won't have any implications for Irish farmers. And I think more importantly now, we're looking at a two-year period before this can be reviewed again. Brazilian authorities will not be in a position to come back to the Commission with any change in material evidence for a period of 2 years. And at that point, and before that point, I believe the European Parliament will have voted on the final Mercosur trade deal, and I don't know how any MEP could stand up and vote in favour of a deal which is already partially paralysed because of food safety issues.
Gardaí are urging people to be aware of a phone call scam occurring in Donegal. In a statement, they say the calls are being received by both UK 0044 and Irish 00353 dialing codes and feature an automated message saying the recipient's vehicle have allegedly been involved in a hit-and-run collision. The person receiving the call is instructed to press 1 to connect to Gardaí Síochána. People are advised not to engage or provide any personal or financial information during the call. If you believe you've engaged with such a scam, Gardaí say to contact your local Garda station. As tests continue to establish what caused a fish kill on the Crana River on Friday afternoon, a Buncrana councillor has praised the angling community and statutory agencies for their swift response. Councillor Jack Murray says he and other colleagues were informed within minutes of the discovery of the fish kill, and Inland Fisheries Ireland was on site within half an hour. 150 fish died in the incident, but Councillor Jack Murray says the swift response from all sides was good to see. Speaking on today's Greg Hughes show, he says the commitment of local anglers to the environment is very important.
I would commend all the anglers who responded so quickly. Look, they serve, for want of a better word, as custodians of the Crana River. They do a huge amount of work. As you can see, they're taking children there to promote it and as an ancient pastime, but also as environmentalists to protect the river for generations to come. The incident happened around 5 o'clock. I think I was looking, checking my phone there, but 17 minutes past, the anglers had been contacting me. I immediately contacted Inland Fisheries Ireland and was informed that they were already on the ground. So I think while it's a very, very concerning and bad news story that such an environmental incident had happened, there is something positive to take from it in the swift action, both from the local community and the anglers, ourselves as local representatives, Inland Fisheries Ireland. And then on Saturday morning, I got a call from Mishka Aaron, who are also being proactive. And look, I'd be one of the most vocal critics of Mishka Aaron on your show, but on this one, I do have to say that they acted very swiftly because, of course, it was concerned that it happened so close to the treatment plant. Your instinct would say that it must have came from there. They're adamant that it wasn't. They're taking samples as well as the AFI. So look, we'll see the results of this. We don't know what has happened as of yet, but the most important thing is that we find out, we get to the bottom of it and ensure that this never happens again.
Detectives have been given more time to question a 16-year-old boy arrested on suspicion of the murder of a man and attempted murder of an 8-year-old girl in Dungannon in Tyrone. Police were called to a house on the Lisnahall Road on Saturday morning where they found the man's body. His daughter was seriously injured while his wife was also hurt. PSNI Superintendent Peter Stevenson has been giving an update on the situation.
Officers immediately commenced first aid on the woman and girl. I am in no doubt that their quick actions gave the young girl a fighting chance of survival. She is now in a stable condition in hospital.
Public service workers in one of the country's largest unions have voted overwhelmingly in favour of industrial action up to and including strike action. 98% of SIP2 members who voted were in favour of the industrial action. The union says it's over the government's failure to make serious proposals after the previous public sector pay agreement expired in June. It has accused ministers of sitting on their hands since then. SIPTU will now engage with other unions to decide how to move forward, with Forza due to announce the results of a ballot tomorrow afternoon. The Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland is to ballot members for industrial action up to and including strike as well. It is in response to what it claims is the government's failure to table a meaningful offer on pay after the last public sector pay agreement expired. According to that union, the ballot is part of a coordinated campaign by the public sector unions affiliated to the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Around 1 in 5 doctors in Ireland work more than 48 hours a week on average. That's according to new research published by the Irish Medical Council, which revealed administrative tasks and work unrelated to clinical duties are among the key pressures faced by doctors every week. GPs reported the most weekly barriers to providing patient care compared to any other group of doctors. Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill says digital systems could alleviate that pressure.
They also highlighted bureaucracy, and that is too much for people at the moment in the absence of an electronic health record system. I'm bringing a memo to Cabinet in the next number of weeks looking for permission for the business case to take further our electronic health record system. That is an absolutely crucial part, and where I have seen it already implemented, whether it's the Kerry Women's Hub in Tralee or the National Rehab Hospital, it makes a huge difference to the lives of all medical professionals.
There's a warning: vulnerable households need long-term support in any cost-of-living budget. Social Justice Ireland wants the government to bring in a system of refundable tax credits to make it fairer for low-income workers. It's calling for the fuel allowance to be extended by a further 4 weeks and an increase in minimum social welfare rates by €15 per week and delivery of the promised disability payment. Social Justice Ireland research and policy analyst Michelle Murphy says lower-income homes need the most help.
A lot of those households have eaten into their savings. Their disposable income has been eaten up by increased prices. So, you know, the purchasing power that they have has reduced. So those are the households we really need to focus on in terms of budgetary support. And those are the households the government really need to look at for Budget 2027 and beyond. Government, in the programme for government, has committed to a cost of disability allowance, a cost of disability payment. So we would be looking at a weekly payment to be introduced in this budget of €20 a week, and that can be built upon in subsequent budgets. But it's really important that that commitment is delivered on in the budget in October.
The number of children in classes of 35 pupils or more has increased. Figures collated by the Irish Independent show the number of so-called supersized classes rose by 450 in the last academic year to over 2,200 nationwide. There are three such classes in Donegal. Classes of 30 or more are regarded as overcrowded, with Donegal returning the third highest proportion of overcrowded classes in the state at 13.2%. Leitrim was the highest at 22.9%, three times the national average. On today's Greg Hughes Show, INTO General Secretary John Boyle described the Donegal figures as particularly worrying.
The county has about 80 of these classes with 30 children or more inside them. That's 2,434 children. Really worrying that these stats are so high for County Donegal. And on top of that, we know that in the last couple of weeks, we've heard of another school closure in Donegal. So at that end of the scale, government's failure to reduce the staffing schedule is also impacting really badly in rural Ireland, with Aidan Infa, Fintra, Duhurry and Kilkenny schools closing this year. So I'd say that the parents in Donegal are very, very concerned about this. And I didn't anticipate this now, I have to say to you, that the number of children in these classes over the European average would actually go up to 428,941 in Ireland. They've gone up a lot in the last year. But then when you think about it, when government didn't take action in last year's budget, it was nearly inevitable that the situation was going to worsen. And we're going to have to demand that they do it this year, because we'll be here next year, Greg, otherwise talking about way more schools closing in County Donegal and far larger classes. And that's not acceptable in a country that has quite a lot of budget surplus at the moment.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 4:45 here in Highland Radio, and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Ryan. We start with transfer news cross-channel. Liverpool have confirmed the signing of Bradley Parkoli from PSG. The French winger has become the Reds' second most expensive signing ever, arriving for a fixed fee of around €124 million. It's understood that fee could rise to 143 with add-ons. He signed a five-year contract today at Anfield. Manchester City have agreed a deal worth up to €40 million for Brazilian winger Alan. The 22-year-old has put pen to paper on a five-year deal at the club. He scored 9 goals and provided 12 assists in 96 games for Brazilian side Palmeiras. Colombian right-back Daniel Muniz will once again work under Oliver Glasner after completing a move to Nottingham Forest for a fee of around £22 million sterling. The 30-year-old moves from Crystal Palace, where he worked with the now Forest boss Glasner on a three-year deal. Manchester United manager Michael Carrick says he wouldn't be opposed to bringing in some more bodies to Old Trafford ahead of tomorrow's transfer deadline. They picked up their first win of the season yesterday, with Marcus Rashford among the starters for the first time in nearly 2 years. The new signings, Yuri Tillemans and Andre Santos, also featured in midfield as they beat Ipswich 5-2. Carrick says he's happy with the business the Red Devils have carried out so far.
Adding Marcus into that is feels like a new signing. So in that respect, we're quite happy. You know, we're always open to if there's something else to be able to add. So I wouldn't shut that down. But as it stands, we'll have to wait and see.
On the pitch tonight, Arsenal can continue their strong start to the season when they visit Villa Park. Mikel Arteta's side routinely dispatched of Coventry City in their first game of the season. and will move level on points with Chelsea, Manchester City and Hull City if they beat Aston Villa tonight. New signing Ezri Konsa could make his debut for the Gunners against his former club. The Arsenal boss Arteta says that the England international should get a good reaction from the home fans.
Well, I hope so. I don't know. And I'm sure that Ezri will think the same way for what he's done for the club. But obviously, this is not down to us.
Well, Aston Villa manager Unai Emery says that they have no time to feel sorry for themselves after a turbulent start to the season. As well as losing 4-0 at Brighton in their first match, Villa have lost many key players, with striker Ollie Watkins the latest to leave. Emery knows they have to move on quickly.
We didn't perform. We didn't compete. And we must do everything faster. And the Premier League is not waiting.
Kick-off time for that Premier League game tonight between Arsenal and Aston Villa is at 8 o'clock. In Gaelic games, Kobe McDonald has been given permission by St Kilda to play for Cross Malina in the Mayo Football Championship. McDonald's teammates, Eamon Armstrong, who represents Meath Club, Duluc and Bellistown, and Liam O'Connell, who plays for Cork's Ballincollig, have also been granted the opportunity to play in their respective county championships. St Kilda says that they understand how much home means to each of these boys, and we don't want to stand in the way of this opportunity to represent the communities and clubs they come from. Well, there'll be lots of GA talk this evening on the DL debate with Brendan Devenny. Donegal News sports editor Ryan Ferry will look ahead to the club championship action, while Niall Cleary recaps the Donegal hurling semi-finals, and we hear from Termin Ladies manager Johnny McCafferty. It's all part of the DL debate tonight here on Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news. In golf, Scotty Scheffler won the Tour Championship by 3 shots yesterday, a 4-under par round 66, meant he finished on 16-under. The result also sealed a second FedEx Cup title for the world number one, while his $10 million prize money means he's now moved beyond Tiger Woods for the most career earnings on the PGA Tour. Scheffler says he's proud of the high standards that he sets for himself.
I don't take tournaments off. I don't take days off during tournaments. I try to give it my all each and every day. I feel like, you know, it's a gift to play out here on the PGA Tour, and I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to look back at the end of my career and feel like I could have done more in order to play well. I want to be able to tell myself when I hang it up that I did everything that I could.
Just finally, Stern Order Olympic weightlifter Abby Meehan is set to become the first person from Donegal to compete at the FISU University World Championships in Olympic weightlifting when she represents Ireland in Doha, Qatar next week. Abby has made significant strides in her weightlifting over the past year and made her first international debut in October representing Ireland. The recent Ulster University Business Management graduate became eligible for the World Championships through her university studies in Belfast and will be taken to the platform in Doha on Friday week, the 11th of September. And that's your sport for the moment here in Highland. Ryan.
Thank you very much, Oisin. New research shows that while Donegal is one of the most affordable counties in the country for first-time buyers, a first home is still out of reach for many, with a single person needing an income of over €57,000 to get on the first step of the property ladder. Data from Chill Insurance compared the median first-time buyers' home prices and median incomes in each county using Central Statistics Office data. Katie Gillen has been looking at the figures.
In Donegal, a single buyer now needs to earn more than €57,300 to buy a typical first home. The median income in Donegal is around €37,900, leaving a single buyer short by more than €20,000. Donegal is the fourth most affordable county in the country for first-time buyers, behind only Longford, Leitrim and Mayo. The five least affordable counties were all located in Leinster, with a single buyer needing to earn more than €90,000 to purchase a first home. The research also found that a single buyer earning the national median wage would fall short of the income required in every county. The link to the full report can be found on our website, highlandradio.com.
The head of a fuel lobby group says the government is panicking when it comes to the carbon tax. It comes amid reports the increase to the tax required under law may be delayed for a second time beyond October. Last week, TDs voted to defer lifting excise duty cuts on petrol and diesel. Kevin McPartlin from Fuels for Ireland says he doesn't want to see increases to the carbon tax unwind.
It's the one which actually encourages you to move away from fossil and towards renewable liquid fuels in our sector. So it just seems to me that the government has just gone from knee-jerk to knee-jerk to knee-jerk. The carbon tax happens to be the next scheduled increase tax on fuel. They know that's highly unpopular, so they're panicking.
And the weather, it will be generally dry and cloudy for most this evening. However, some scattered patchy rain or drizzle will continue to push in from the west, all in light to moderate westerly winds, fresh to strong along the coast for time this evening. Tonight will bring a mixture of some clear spells, some showery outbreaks of rain and drizzle, and variable amounts of cloud. Lowest temperatures of 11 to 15 degrees with a light to moderate southwesterly breeze. Tomorrow will be rather cloudy with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle moving eastwards, turning heavy and persistent in parts. Some hill and hill fog likely too. High temperatures of 15 to 19 degrees with a light to moderate fresh along the coast west to southwesterly breeze. A look at today's main stories. Work has been approved to begin on a flood relief scheme for Rafoe, which is designed to protect 387 properties at risk of flooding. Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran says he has received confirmation from the Public Expenditure Minister, Jack Chambers, that the project can proceed. He says his department is now working to facilitate the start of construction as early as possible, in line with the statutory process. The scheme has been developed with significant input from the local community and includes two open diversion channels, embankments and three new main drainage pipes and culverts to collect stormwater. It will also involve road reprofiling and the planting of native woodland. Local councillor Frank McBrearty has welcomed the announcement, but says there should be recognition of the victims of previous floods in the town. The European Commission has decided to remove Brazil from the list of countries authorised to export certain meat products, including beef, to the European Union. Midlands North West MEP Kieran Mullooly says the decision vindicates the concerns raised by farmers and food safety experts. The decision can be appealed by Brazil in 2 years' time. Mr. Mullooly says this is a significant victory for European farmers and consumers. And as tests continue to establish what caused a fish kill on the Crana River on Friday afternoon, a Buncrana councillor has praised the angling community and statutory agencies for their swift response. Councillor Jack Murray says he and other colleagues were informed within minutes of the discovery of the fish kill, and Inland Fisheries Ireland was on site within half an hour. 150 fish died in the incident, but Councillor Jack Murray says the swift response from all sides was good to see. Speaking on today's Greg Hughes show, he said the commitment of local anglers to the environment is very important. And that's all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, August the 31st. The death has occurred of Seamus Drian, 24, Meadowbank Park, Long Lane, Letterkenny. Seamus will repose at his daughter Suzanne's residence at Ran Creesmith, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 12 noon until after the rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 10:15 a.m, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of May Harkin, nay Harkin, 23, O'Gara Villas, Maville. May's remains will leave Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening at 7 p.m. going to her home. Funeral from there on Thursday at 10:20 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Pius X Church, Maville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Connor Woods, 86D, Lisnafin Park, Strabane, County Tyrone, formerly of Ballymanaster Ballindraits. Reposing at his brother Gerald's home in Dreenan, Balbuffet, from 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. today and from 12 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral Mass from there on Wednesday at 11:15 a.m. going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock Lifford, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Burial immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Hannah McGonigal, Jungard, Malinhead, and formerly of Ballyheeny. Hannah's remains will repose at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. The family home is private to family, neighbours and close friends at the request of the deceased. Funeral from her late residence on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Lag, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please.
The death has taken place of Etna Kelly, née Boyle, the Glebe Stranorler, reposing at McGowan's Funeral Home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorler, today until Rosary at 8 p.m. Reposing at the family home, the Glebe Stranorler, tomorrow from 12 noon until Rosary at 8 p.m. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, followed by burial in Stranorler Graveyard, Chapel Street. House private pleas on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu if desired, to the St Joseph's Hospital Patient Bus Fund, care of Son Jonathan or McGowan's Funeral Home. The death has taken place of Jerry McCahill, Clooney, Remelton, reposing at Lily Hill Funeral Home, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton, followed by cremation in Lily Hill Crematorium, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, at 1 p.m. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. House private, please. The death has occurred of John Stewart, Runcleven, Dunfanaghy, reposing at his home. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Cancer Care West, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Des Callaghan, 46, Ashlan, Ballyrahan, Letterkenny, and formerly Ballina, County Mayo. Des's remains are reposing at his home today until 10 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in Cornwall Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Cree Heart Society or the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member, or Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. House strictly private before the funeral tomorrow. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.